You want worship for the Old Testament believer was an outer court experience. Can you imagine coming to church this morning and you were stopped at the door and you could bring your sacrifice, you can bring your offering, you can give it to the priest, he can take care for you, and you can say goodbye. Now, how fulfilling would that be? Yet, I'm telling you this, there are some of us that get satisfied with that outer court experience.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Hope Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing an encouraging message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is part of a series entitled Our Worship. Today's message is part three of It's Not Religion, It's Worship. My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, for the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. We have a wonderful arrangement with God through Jesus. Why do we want to mess that up? The Old Testament believer waited patiently by faith for this day to come that where they could worship in spirit and truth, and many of them never got to enjoy that. We have a great blessing, a wonderful opportunity that we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth, that we can go beyond the outer courts of the Old Testament and enter into the Holy of Holies and have fellowship with God. You want worship for the Old Testament believer was an outer court experience. Can you imagine coming to church this morning and you were stopped at the door? And you could bring your sacrifice, you can bring your offering, you can give it to the priest, he can take care for you, and you can say goodbye. Now, how fulfilling would that be? Yet, I'm telling you this, there are some of us that get satisfied with that outer court experience. See, we can come into the building, see, we can participate even, but do we enter into the presence of the Lord? Not just here, do you enter into the presence of the Lord away from church? Worship is not just an expression. Worship is a lifestyle. We are worshipers. God has restored us to fellowship through the blood of Jesus for that purpose of relationship, to be a worshiper. The true worshipers of God will worship in spirit and truth. Don't ever get satisfied with systems of religion because they lack communion with God. You know, God put in place a system where it observed by faith for the Old Testament believer. And that's how it had to be approached, by faith. You know, the Old Testament believer worshiping in spirit and truth, who was right with God, knew God, understood that these were not the fulfillment. This was not the answer. We see that in Hebrews, in the chapter on faith. That by faith, Abraham knew that, you know what, God was giving him a city, God was giving him a people, but that was not the ultimate fulfillment. God was giving him an eternal home. He understood by faith. He was not just following in the natural. He was following the spiritual promise as well. But sometimes we forget that when we're reading this, that the Old Testament worshiper who knew God was basically to that place where they had it observed by faith. Sometimes religious people get upset when you change practices. Church, listen, don't get comfortable. Don't ever get comfortable with methods of worship, expressions of worship. Get comfortable with the presence of God. Get comfortable with the presence of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take sins away. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. It's the blood of Jesus that atones for our sins, redeems us, and it's the blood of Jesus that allows that process of transformation in our life, and it's the blood of Jesus that gives us access to the presence of God, where we can have fellowship with God. Let me quickly just pay attention to one more scripture here on this subject. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 51. This is interesting. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from what? Top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks split. The first thing God did after Jesus said, "It is finished," he goes, "It is finished. And I'm tired of that stinking veil between man and between me. I'm ready to fellowship. I'm ready to have relationship with man." And he tore the veil with his, again, just symbolic of that separation between God and man. It's the first thing God did. It was the first thing on his bucket list. I'm getting rid of that veil. I want fellowship with man. See, we again, I said this last week, we look at worship through the wrong eyes. We look at worship through the eyes of our world today as egocentric. But worship with God at the heart, see, that's what was separated. What was separated by sin was relationship. At the heart of worship is relationship. There's intimacy, there's communion with God. And so we forget that. We get lost in expressions of worship, which are important, but the heart of worship is communion with God. Hebrews 10:19. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus," you can enter boldly into the presence of God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. "By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil," that is his flesh. And some of you need to go back and read Hebrews chapter 10, just over. There is so much there. "And having a high priest over the house of God," who is our high priest? Jesus is our high priest. "Let us draw near with a true heart," spirit and truth, "in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Verse 25, "For every person who is not in church today," I know you can't hear me, but I'm speaking to you. Verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some of you who are skipping church, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching." Listen, there is great value in corporate worship. Great value. And so some of the things I'm going to say, I don't want to diminish that, because there is great value in coming together as the body of Christ in worship. It is vital for our spiritual It is vital for our spiritual well-being and our encouragement. If you don't think corporate worship is important to God, you're wrong. Read your Bible. If you don't think corporate worship is important to the believer, you're wrong. Read your Bible. If you don't think participating in worship is important, you're wrong. Read your Bible. If you don't think engaging corporate worship is important, then you are wrong. Read your Bible. God has given us access into his presence through the blood of Jesus. Why on earth would we not take advantage of that open door and enter in spirit and truth? Listen, I'm not saying we need to enter in acting or performing. Just enter in spirit and truth. And that doesn't matter where you are, at home or at church. As important as corporate worship is, and as vital as it is to our spiritual growth, church, this is not the only place we worship. In fact, if this is the only place we entertain the presence of God, your worship is religious and it's confined. And it's confined to four walls, and that should not be. Because Jesus did not pay a price for you to worship on Sunday. He paid a price for you to worship on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Some of us worship like the Samaritans, the Samaritan woman. Our worship is religious. It's not spiritual. And that's not okay. Some of us, our worship is carnal. It's more of an outer court experience. And listen, Jesus did not come to change worship, restore fellowship with man and God for us to become religious. He restored us so that we could become relational with God. I don't know about you, but I think it should be commonplace. And I'm not talking about the outer man, the reaction of the outer man. But when the presence of God comes and visits us, it should melt your inner heart. You should be like putty in the hands of God. If worship gets lopsided and it becomes more carnal, and it can, once again, we can tie it to a place of worship rather than the heart of worship. See, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We are a temple of the Holy Spirit." I mean, not only was the veil torn, but God has now tabernacled within us. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's desire, when he created man, it was the fellowship with him in the garden, to walk with him, to talk with him. But sin has messed that up, and now the best thing is this. Until we step into the presence of the Lord, the Lord's presence can be inside of us. God's desire was not to be confined to a building made by our hands. God's desire was to be confined to a place where he created the heart of man. Listen, don't make the mistake of neglecting the presence of God who is present daily in your life. Going to church, gathering with other worshipers, exalting Jesus, it's necessary, it's good, God is pleased with it, and I don't want to diminish that. But worship is more than a church experience. And if worship is that's all it is for you, then your worship is very limited, and it needs to grow. Because you can fellowship and walk with God on a daily basis, and you should. In the Old Testament worship system, we worship from a distance. Why would we want to worship from a distance today? Why would we? Through the blood of Jesus, we are invited to draw near to God, and in return, what does God promise us when we draw near to him? He will draw near to us. A life that engages the presence of God more than Sunday mornings is a lifestyle of worship. It's worship in spirit and truth. See, that's what I think we have to be careful of. If our worship is limited, and only you can answer this, if our worship is limited to this place, it should cause us to evaluate our situation. Because worship in spirit and truth is not confined to a day nor a building. Worship has changed, and it's not religious, it's relational. There are times when the Spirit of God is so precious during worship times, and the presence of God just seems tangible. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I believe it should be like that. It should be like that corporately, and it should be like that individually. I don't know about you. Have you ever had times where you're just driving down the road, and you're worshiping the Lord, and the Lord just comes into that place and just visits you? Shouldn't we be hungry for that? Shouldn't that be commonplace? See, we can get satisfied with just this. I want to challenge you, this can be good, and that's nothing wrong with that, but don't get satisfied with outer court worship. On the flip side of the emotions, though, if we allow ourselves to become so emotional, if we allow ourselves to get in the flesh, that's all it can be. Our reaction can just be emotions, and that's a dangerous thing, too. Emotions are subject to the flesh. Now, I know God created us with emotions, but they are attached to the flesh. See, man, we must be under the dominion of the Spirit, not the dominion of our feelings, not the dominion of our emotions. God gave you those to, listen, is it wrong to cry in the presence of the Lord? No. Is it wrong to celebrate in the presence of the Lord? No. But you better have spirit and truth as your governing truth. And only you can answer that. See, because if we have become emotional or we react emotionally, and we're hoping that emotion will connect us to God, it's not spirit and truth. It's like a bunch of prophets of Baal on a mountain trying to call down fire on a sacrifice that won't light. And what happens is people, if their worship is nothing but emotion, it has a shelf life. And it bottoms out and it falls, and there's a great crash with that person.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. If you're not attending a house of worship, and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.